morning, Nick.
Good morning, Martin. How are you?
I'm good, yeah. How are you going?
Yeah, all right. Thank you. Very good, yeah. Just listened to our last podcast.
So did I.
Did you?
Yes, I felt I had to because I had no clue what I'd said in it. So.
No, I didn't either. Yeah. I thought it was quite funny in a couple of bits. I even laughed to myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I listened to it on 1.5 speed, which I think is the best way.
Yeah, I don't like hearing my voice anyway, so hearing my voice speeded up is probably twice as bad.
Oh, it was all right, yeah. Well, anyway, it's been a couple of months since 3 months nearly, isn't it?
Yeah, it has. Even though, like, on the last podcast I said I bought this new microphone, our voices still sound remarkably different, don't they? I don't know whether that's because you're doing the recording your end, maybe?
Maybe.
I don't know. Well, obviously we sound different anyway, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The levels, I mean, when I do the editing afterwards, I don't need to change my levels, pretty stable. You sound clear as a bell now, but...
Well, we had the audio issues last time. Maybe I didn't have the right microphone selected. Maybe I was just using my laptop microphone. Who knows, though, but...
Who knows?
We'll see.
Have you been over the last 3 months, then? I know we've been talking in between times, but...
Good, yeah, lots to go over. Not much about work, but, yeah, been good and bad and in the middle, I guess. Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, same really. I had so it was November when we last caught up on the podcast, and December was a bit of a write-off, as it generally is with Christmas coming and everything. It was just really churning through the work till Christmas came, and then I was ill over Christmas, which is always a bonus.
Yeah.
But since then, since January, things have turned a corner. Things have been going pretty well this year so far.
Awesome.
How about you? What have you been up to since November?
Well, no alcohol for 125 days.
125 days.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So that,
been vegan since the 4th of December.
Wow.
And I was trying to take January, February and March off with mixed results.
Right. Well, the alcohol thing and the vegan thing, you mentioned that to me back in December, and I've done the same since the 6th of Jan. I've been alcohol-free and vegan as well.
Have you?
Yeah, so not quite as impressive as your record so far.
Yeah, well, it's been a few weeks, isn't it, since we've even just spoke, just not doing a podcast thing, so I did wonder whether you'd kept the alcohol thing up.
Well, I thought I'd give it a go, because I do feel a lot better, actually, but I'm not sure whether that's the alcohol or the lack of alcohol or the plant-based diet that's doing that. So that's the trouble with doing two things at once, isn't it? You know, you don't know which one it is that's making the most effect.
Probably both, to be fair. You know, they're both good for you in general, don't you? So.
Yeah. Do you miss it? Do you miss either of the meat or the alcohol?
Well, the alcohol thing's interesting, actually. So I've been drinking alcohol-free beer.
Yeah.
So if there's a football match on or we're watching something on telly, I'll still drink a couple of alcohol-free beers. So I don't know whether that counts or not. And it's interesting because, like, if you read books, they always say people don't generally like the taste of alcohol. They drink it for the feeling it kind of gives you. But the fact I drink alcohol-free beer and kind of like the taste of it, I don't know if that's a good sign or bad sign.
I don't know. Well, it's just like drinking a can of pop, isn't it? You know, if you had a Diet Coke or something, it's a fizzy drink, same sort of thing.
Yeah, but if I drink Diet Coke, I'll just have one and that'll do me. But I can still quite happily have two or three cans of alcohol-free beer.
Yeah. That's a habit thing, I suppose, isn't it? You know, you associate it with watching the football or whatever. That's funny, I mean, I've had a couple of alcohol-free beers, not a lot, but like I was out last Thursday night and we were in a pub, so I just had a beer, you know, but I'd had an alcohol-free beer. I quite liked it. It's more a case of like that habit thing, you know. I'm in a pub, I'm not going to drink lime and soda, which I do occasionally, but I'd rather have a beer, you know. So I don't know. I don't think it's bad. You're cutting out the alcohol, so who cares?
It was always nice, even though having the beers, they are alcohol-free, not waking up feeling groggy or hungover the next day.
Yeah, that is amazing. That's amazing, yeah. So there were a couple of games of... So I played darts on Tuesday, as you know, and there's a couple of games left before the end of the season in January. And I wasn't drinking, so I drove to those. And I was kind of dreading it because, you know, it's a group of blokes together, always having a few beers, playing darts. But it was all right. You know, you're playing darts, so you've got distractions and everything, so it's fine. But the Wednesday mornings were amazing. Usually I'd have a fuzzy head at best, you know, and at worst, much more than that. But it was great to be able to actually do some work properly without struggling to fight myself to get to do it, you know. It was really good. So, yeah. I'm going to carry on. I think when we spoke to you and you challenged me, it was to do it until the Reading Half Marathon and see if it has any effect on my sort of fitness or whatever. So I'm going to keep going till then. But the way I feel at the moment, I think I'll probably carry on afterwards as well.
How is it going logistically in terms of the creating the meals and interesting stuff to eat and so on?
It's a bit of a pain in the arse, but it's not too bad. I think you just have to make sure you've got your fridge stocked with stuff and tins of stuff so that you can make a meal. It's a bit, there seem to be less options for making a quick meal. You know, things take a bit longer. And if you go out, if you're out and about, that's and you haven't got any food, you need to buy something somewhere, that can be a bit tricky. That's what I found. How have you found it? Have you had a similar experience?
Well, so Sophie's been vegan for 2 years, so vegetarian for 20 odd years before that. So we've had lots of vegan cookbooks and stuff in the house anyway. So it's better for us as a family because Sophie has to cook less. So I've always felt bad because Sophie does do the main bulk of the cooking. Apart from I do the odd scrambled eggs on toast for the kids or beans on toast. So now it's easier for her because she doesn't have to do a separate meal or, you know, cook something and then throw meat in it at the last minute to serve something up for me. So it's a lot easier at home for cooking. And I guess for us, like taking it up now, it's a lot easier. Well, it's better for us because there's more options now, isn't there? Because it has become trendy to become vegan, or at least give it a try, perhaps even if it's just for January. So going into Co-op, there's just two sandwich selections now. There was just one previously, but now there's two. So you get to know, don't you, which is a good place to go to for a sandwich and stuff like that when you're out and about.
Yeah, that's right. I still go into Reading, into town centre a couple of times a week. Well, once a week at least. And I know now where to go if I want something to eat or whatever. It's good. Yeah. And so the other thing you mentioned was you took a few months off.
Yeah. So I guess this is a big thing. So just, it was funny enough, just after the last podcast, I checked the date of when we published it. And so I decided to speak to a therapist. So since Justin Jackson had been doing it, and so obviously with Isabel going through her leukemia diagnosis and treatment and stuff, it's something that Click Sargent offers, but you kind of have to go through an application process for it all to get it all sorted out. And I didn't really want to do it in person either, because from what I sent Justin Jackson a couple of emails and said, you know, how did you find the right person, and he was like, you've got to try a few people to find the right person and so on. And I didn't want to, it's almost like breaking up with someone, isn't it? Like if you start going to see a therapist and then you think they're not the right person, it's awkward then to say, actually, you know, this isn't working out for me. So Peter Levels on Twitter tweeted about Talkspace, which is kind of online therapists. So you can do it all over Skype and over chat and so on.
Right.
And so, yeah, so with the whole thing of going through Isabel's treatment over the 2 year period, and then I kind of threw myself straight into the cycling for Land's End to John O'Groats Ride Across Britain thing. And they overlapped as well. And while we were doing RAB, we were with people who'd done it a few times before. And they said, you'll find after you finish the event. And this is probably the same as doing a half marathon. You have a real lull in motivation.
Yeah.
Like I remember on the WhatsApp chat with the group of people from the Southwest, we were all like struggling to motivate ourselves to get up for work and so on. And so I kind of feel like it is even worse for me, because it was like the finishing the Ride Across Britain thing was like the culmination of Isabel finishing her treatment, doing a sponsorship right and raising all the money for Click Sargent and finishing that event. And so
it's quite emotional, isn't it?
Yeah, I kind of thought, you know, I wouldn't, perhaps, you never know, do you? Like even just being an entrepreneur and working for yourself and stuff, you never know whether speaking to someone about it all, like whether it's a business coach or a therapist or whatever, will help you. So I was like, for a while I'd thought, you know, I think I'm all right, I'm doing all right, but maybe, you know, I could be doing better.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd give it a go. So I signed up for this Talkspace thing, which was good, because as I said, if you feel like you're seeing someone in person, well, first of all, I'm imbued. I'm kind of a bit remote, so I don't know if there would be any options, never mind an option. So, and then I thought, if I do it online, at least if I don't get on with the person, I can just kind of ghost them, as it's called now, and not reply to their messages and so on.
Yeah.
So it's the easy option for me. And so, yeah, funny enough, I must have signed up for it just before we did our last podcast and started kind of chatting to the person, because you fill out this questionnaire and then it matches you with like two or three people and then you can choose someone to start, you know, talking to. And so did that. And yeah, it was good. So that was kind of mid-November. Was doing like one video call a week, I think, and was talking about everything, went through with Isabel, but then general work stuff as well. And they send you surveys, the same kind of surveys you can get online for, like, if you think you've got depression, do this survey, or if you think you're drinking too much alcohol, do this survey, or if you think you're suffering from burnout, do this survey. And I warned her, I said, you know, any survey you give me, I'm going to come out as having that problem, just so you know, I kind of know already. And that's not saying I'm alcoholic, but, you know, if I do a survey, I probably do drink more than 3 or 4 pints more than twice a week when I was drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
With depression, you know, this is like the roller coaster of being an entrepreneur or working for yourself, isn't it? Mm. Like some days you just can't be asked to get out of bed and go and switch your laptop on and start answering support emails, whereas another day you're like flying high and everything goes smoothly and you really want to get on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real roller coaster. Yeah.
So I did the surveys and stuff, but I did warn her before I did them. I said, you know, it's going to come out as saying I've got these issues. But I said, the one I probably identify most of all is it would be probably burnout. And right. So I just feel tired like all the time, like just exhausted. And that, partly from having three small kids, partly from working for myself and perhaps taking on too much work because I was doing some SEO consulting back then. And just then from also all the things I've been through with Isabel and we had as a family, and then doing Ride Across Britain and the lull after that. And so going backwards and forwards with some chatting and stuff, she's like, well, why don't you take some time off? Because I probably said I hadn't really had any time off either for about 2 or 3 years almost, apart from the odd day here and there. And I was like, well, yeah, I guess I could do. She's like, well, could you take 2 or 3 months off? And I was like, yeah, actually, I could. Yeah. There's nothing stopping me. I haven't thought about it. I was just like, yeah, you know, I probably can. So that was the start of December. Yeah, maybe a week into December. So it made sense. I'd kind of set in my mind, it's a new year coming up. Let's take January, February, and March off. So then I had the end of December. This tied in nicely as well with the other stuff we'd spoken about on the previous podcast about bottlenecks and solving bottlenecks.
Yeah.
And I'd prepared various things so that on Ride Across Britain, I could do that without having to worry about whether the server and various jobs were still running and so on. So knowing that I was going to take January, February, and March off, I kind of ended consulting engagements with a couple of people that I was doing some work for.
Right.
And I also automated the last few things within Sanity Check so that they would keep running and kind of report back to me then if there was ever an issue rather than me having to manually check them every day.
Sounds good.
And so, yeah, so then got to January and that was it. I think 3rd of January was the first day I, in theory, took off and went to Exeter shopping.
How did it feel? I mean, was it an obvious sort of, you know, brick wall, that's it? Now I'm not doing anything and you just felt weird, or is it just normal?
It was good. I mean, it was good in terms of saying ending the consulting engagements with the clients, SEO clients I was doing. I'd just taken too much on, basically.
Yeah.
I'd kind of 5 working days in a week and I'd filled up about 8 days, I think.
Right.
Not just with SEO consulting, but with wanting to work on Sanity Check as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, 8 into 5 just doesn't go. And no. So I either felt like I wasn't doing a good enough job for people, or was either just trying to do too much as well.
And then just
automating the rest of the stuff that I needed to get automated was just freeing as well. So in terms of actual taking the 3 months off, that's been various levels of success.
Right. So you started off in January. Did you just do nothing then? So there's obviously a bit of a transition from automating everything, so you have to do less and less and less, and then was it just completely stopped and never check your email, never looked at your computer for a week, 2 weeks, or was it less than that?
Yeah, so I spent about an hour a day, I think, probably just checking emails, that was it.
Yeah.
Because support and sales hadn't been automated, so I still had the odd sale or support email come in.
Right, okay.
So the aim was just to kind of answer that and deal with that. But I turned all Google Ads and Twitter Ads off anyway, so that I thought that would die off, but it's just ticked along anyway, and Sanity Check has continued ticking along in terms of new customers signing up and stuff. So
that's good.
That has worked well. So the hope was I was going to get back to being able to spend more time doing the things I wanted to do, like play golf and cycling. But this is why there's been various levels of success. January, February, March, obviously winter, springtime, that's when children get poorly with sick bugs and fevers and colds. And so we had 6 weeks of the kids being poorly.
Oh, no.
It was funny because I was chatting to one of the parents at school and they were saying, oh, yeah, it was terrible. Our child had this sick bug and they were puking up really badly for 3 days. Couldn't keep anything down. And I was like, yeah, that is bad. But you take your one child and you multiply that by 3 times. That's what we've got, because one gets it.
Yeah.
Just gets well. Then it gets passed on to the other one. They just get well. And then finally the third one gets it.
Yeah.
So while they've had 3 or a week of, you know, sickness, we've had 3 weeks back to back of one child being sick. And then annoyingly, like this odd fever thing came around where the child was just spiking like a 40 degree fever for about 3 or 4 days, which was odd. But the good thing is Isabel's all done with her treatments. We don't have to take her in anymore. So we could just look after her at home with cow pollen and stuff. But Sophie was like, oh, I'll call in sick, I'll look after, you know, Maggie or Charlie or whoever it was. And I was like, well, you can't really do that, you know, I'm off, so I'll take the time to look after them, which, you know, is what you do as a parent, isn't it? But when you're trying to take time off to
it's not the same as taking time off when you're looking after kids.
Especially when they're sick as well, because they moan like buggery, and you cannot do, like, it's fun when you're doing stuff that's fun, like going out and doing activities and stuff, you know, it's great. But when they're lying on the sofa watching Frozen for the 15th time,
it's pretty hard
just
work.
Just moaning,
No, I know what you mean. Yeah,
that's what it is. So I had 6 weeks of that, and then, as I said, I wanted to do golf and cycling, and I almost thought about doing some woodworking as well. So I've never done any woodworking, but watched some YouTube videos and so on. But the weather has just been terrible, hasn't it, for us in the UK? Good. There's been week after week of storms coming through. And so there's, like, the odd, out of, I don't know, 3 months, there's perhaps been like three nice days when I could have gone and played golf. But by that point, I'd been worn down by the miserableness of the weather. So I hadn't even thought about it until afterwards. So yeah, trying to take 3 months off to play golf and go cycling and do nice stuff outside in January, February, and March wasn't the greatest idea.
It's not the best time of year to do that, no. So you weren't working that much, and although you had loads of other stuff going on, do you think it helped? Or?
So yeah, I mean, it certainly helped. Like, whether I had taken the time off or not, I probably would have ended up looking after the kids.
Yeah.
So that was certainly a lot less stressful, knowing that I didn't have to worry about work while looking after them.
Yeah.
Because I still would have said to Soph, you know, you can go to work because I can take today off or whatever and look after them. But I'd have been worrying about working at the same time then.
Yeah, yeah.
So at least from that point of view, I didn't have to worry about that. And yeah, I guess, well, we're in February. No, we're in March now. March, so I kind of went back to work a couple of weeks ago, like more or less full time, because the weather was just doing my head in. I kind of thought, well, I might as well wait and take another month off.
Yeah.
In a couple of months when the weather's a bit better.
Yeah.
But certainly I felt freed up in time, in terms of more brain space, in terms of being able to think.
Yeah.
Because I haven't had these jobs that I've had to be checking on and clients, SEO consulting work to do and stuff like that. So in terms of freeing my brain up to think about things, it's been good. And I certainly have taken time off amongst looking after children and things. So
done some stuff for yourself as well. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, just, I think the first week was good because I just did jobs around the house that I've been waiting for ages.
Yeah.
Like, tidy up the utility room and just tidy up the garage a bit. And it was just amazing to do that.
It's funny how those things, once you've done them, they make you feel a lot better, don't they? Those sorts of things that they're not really important, but they just do nag away at you and you just kind of push them to the back of your mind. But they're still there. They never go away until you actually solve the problem. So, yeah.
And it seems crazy that you don't find the time to do them anyway, but
yeah. But, you said you had space for your brain to think about other things. Did you have the problem of shiny new objects or any new ideas or anything like that?
Not really, no.
Oh, that's good.
I think probably because I've got too many shiny new ideas already written down on bits of paper for things to do anyway. So I kind of have put a bit of thought in, so I've kind of learnt that I need to say no to or stop taking new projects on as much as anything, whether that's new clients, consulting work, or starting new projects up. So I'm not saying yes to anything new for a long time. But yeah, I've not started any new projects up anyway.
No, that's good, because that's always my worry about if I had lots of free time, is that's what happens to me. I start coming up with ideas of things to do, and then I get excited about those things, and it's hard to pull yourself away from them again. I just wondered if that had happened, but. So now you've started back at work. Do you feel like you're up for it again? Are you pushing forward, or is it just back to normal the way it was when you left off?
No. So again, because all the stuff is automated, all the boring or annoying stuff, it's kind of, I get to work on what I want to work on now, which is nice.
That's good, yeah.
So I kind of feel like I've been making good progress on the bits that I should have been working on a while ago. So in the last podcast, we spoke about positioning stuff a little bit around sanity check. So I'm stripping out some of the, well, see, you say about shiny new objects and so on. So I'm stripping out some of the functionality from Sanity Check to make it for its own standalone project.
Right.
So just before I took some time off, I started speaking to a couple of people who were Sanity Check customers. And they are helping me out with some marketing stuff around content marketing for Sanity Check.
Okay.
They picked a particular bit of functionality that they've suggested marketing and pushing on. And so that's kind of led me to think about that a bit more. And a lot of the customers only use that bit of functionality anyway. So I'm ripping that out to be its own standalone product.
Right.
Bought a domain name, which I wasn't just off the shelf. I had to buy it off someone. So invested a bit of money into that.
Yeah.
I've been working on that to get that ready, which I guess is a shiny new object thing, but it's still kind of related to Sanity Check. So
yeah. And it's, if it's going to help position things better, then that sounds like a good thing.
Yeah, but that's been good in terms of these two people I'm kind of working with. They're going to lead, I guess, marketing material stuff for it as well. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so it's been good to kind of think about working with other people again, which is what.
Where did you find those people?
So they were customers of Sanity Check.
Oh yeah, you said
anyway,
that. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. So they're SEO people, and they've been writing about Sanity Check and getting links into the site already. So I kind of reached out to them and said, I kind of just had an open chat with them, to be honest, because we'd had some various chats about feature ideas and stuff before. And I said, you know, I'm not sure what to do. I'm going to take 3 months off. You know, I might decide in this 3 months to shelf Sanity Check. I didn't know what I was going to do at the end of this 3 month period. So it's just an open chat. I said, you know, might decide to double down on Sanity Check, might decide to shelf it, blah, blah, blah. What do you guys think about it? And they're like, well, you know, we like the product. We love it. We've been promoting it. We'd be happy to help you out with some marketing and work on it and stuff. So,
cool. That's really good.
So that's good.
Yeah, I was asking where you found them, because I'd like the idea of that sort of thing as well, because I've just changed things around a bit. So I had a not the same sort of level of stuff, but in January, having been ill over Christmas and not really getting that relaxing time that you like to have, you know, over Christmas, I always shut down everything for the week over Christmas, between Christmas and New Year, and that's at least a week and a half or so of time just to chill out. And because I was ill, I didn't really get that. And so January was back into full-on stress mode without having had that relaxation. And it got a bit much, to be honest. And so I was just stroppy all the time and not happy, you know. And so I went on a retreat, to make the long story short. So I went down to Bournemouth for like a day and a night with a notebook, walked up and down the seafront a lot, found a couple of great vegan restaurants, actually, in Bournemouth. That was good. But took loads of notes. It wasn't really... It wasn't really making a plan. It was trying to work out what I was doing and why I was so pissed off all the time, basically, and all that. And in that respect, it was really good, because I worked out that I was doing the wrong things for my happiness. That sounds a bit extreme, but what I mean is that I was trying to focus on marketing, getting customers through the doors. I still wasn't doing enough marketing or any, really. It was very little that I was doing, but I was trying to do that, make time to do that and get more customers through the door. But I was finding that every time I get a new customer, all the support stuff that comes through is the same old support stuff, which is stuff they can't do themselves yet, I have to do for them. And that loop was what was making me, that's one of the things anyway, that was making me really mad. So I just rejigged things a bit. So I've not changed a lot, but I've now focused the morning time. I just work on coding for these features. So I'm just, as you talked about bottlenecks and getting rid of those, you know, we had that podcast ages ago and I didn't do very much in terms of reducing bottlenecks, but that's one of my focuses now, is to remove those things. One of my focuses, that is my focus. So yeah, since January, I've been doing that, working on that, which is working out really well. I've released a couple of features related to that already. And I'd always put it off because I knew they were big chunks of work to do, whereas me doing them for customers would be like, you know, 15 minutes, half an hour, sometimes an hour if it was complicated. It's just when you're getting more customers through, those 15 minutes, half an hour come more often, obviously. And that was taking up all my time. So yeah, so that was really good. That's the main thing that's changed for me since December. But that taking that time, even though it was only a day and a half and it was away from home, just to not think about anything apart from let whatever came into my head come into my head, you know, and then scribble notes down and that sort of thing. It was really, really useful. I'd never really done it before, so I was really pleased to have done that. That was really good.
Did you... During that day and a half, whatever, did you think about whether to start a new project?
I did. Well,
Kids Club HQ was the thing to.
That was one of my things, was whether I should carry on doing it, you know, because it was getting me down quite a bit come January. I had other things going on as well, like we had contractors working on the house, doing a new fencing and patios and stuff. So that was quite stressful, keeping an eye on them and talking to them about stuff, and, you know, telling them when they'd done something wrong and they had to do it right. All that stuff gets on your back as well. So that didn't help. And yeah, I did think about it, whether I should carry on with it, but I just still feel as if I haven't made the most of the opportunity yet. So I'm still going to carry on, at least. I can't see any reason why I wouldn't, you know. And if I can get it to the point where there's less of this day-to-day support stuff that I'm doing for people, and it's more just your normal kind of support, then I feel that that would be a good place to be. And I've been saying that for years, literally years, but that's still my aim. And I did come up with a couple of ideas, shiny objects, but I just scribbled them down in a notebook and then forgot about them again and got on with other stuff. Yeah, it was good. It's really good. I think that retreat, people have talked about it for years. We've talked it on here before. You've done a few, haven't you? And yeah, it was so well worth it. I've never done it like a night away like that before. I've spent a few hours thinking about things, but it's not enough. I think you need to get away, don't you, for at least a day. Yeah, so that was good.
Cool.
Not a lot more been going on. I mean, personal-wise, talks about being alcohol-free and vegan. Training for the Reading Half Marathon, that's still going on. If it's going to happen now, because it occurred to me this morning that with this coronavirus stuff, that's the half marathon's the start of April. It may not even happen. So that's a concern, but we'll see.
Yeah, I was thinking about that for Ride Across Britain. I know that's in September, but who knows what's on the cards. Have you been stockpiling food?
No. Have you?
We have a bit because, one, we've got three kids that we need to feed and they're quite picky on what they eat.
Right.
And two, we're a bit more remote in Bude, aren't we? So I've seen that's what happens true. when there's a day of snow and Bude is cut off from the snow.
Yeah.
Or from everywhere else, sorry, or because of the snow. I've seen what happens at the one Morrison's that we have. Like, we literally have one. Well, there's two supermarkets, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's Morrison's and Lidl. But yeah, they'd run out of everything in a day.
Wow.
So yeah, we've just been like buying just a bit of extra pasta and rice and yeah. stuff like that. Stuff yeah. that we'd use anyway and that won't go off.
Yeah. I've been getting a bit frustrated about it, to be honest, because the whole panic shopping, if everyone just bought what they needed, it would be fine, I'm sure. You know, it's just when people start panicking, and the press don't help, do they? They're horror stories across the paper, so it encourages people to go out and do it. But no, I think we'll be all right. We've got cupboards stocked with tins of stuff, and if we did have to self-isolate for a couple of weeks, I'm sure we could still get a Tesco delivery to drop it off at the door rather than come in the house. I'm not too worried about it.
The worry is that the logistical side of stuff breaks down, isn't it? Because people are told not to come into work and
yeah,
so on.
Yeah, there is that, yeah. Yeah, but, if you can believe the government, they reckon that they can make sure it's sorted.
Well, that's the thing. I have little faith in the government. That's why I'm stockpiling food.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good point. I don't have much faith in them either. But, we'll see. We'll see. Have you had any cases or anything around your way?
I think there's been one in Cornwall. I saw the first fatality in the UK. It was in Reading yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah, in Royal Barks. So it's been a bit weird, actually, because there was... one of the cases was in a school in Woodley, which is in Reading, just down the road from us, about sort of five minutes drive away. That teacher that got it had apparently been on a training day at Lois's old primary school, which is a couple of minutes walk away from here. So they had to shut that down for a day to deep clean it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit close to home, but yeah, I don't know anyone that's got it or anything, so we'll see.
Not that you know of anyway.
No, exactly.
But yeah, well, because Charlie went for his, I guess it's a quarterly checkup on his chest. For asthma last week, and the doctor that he saw said because the symptoms are so like normal, just fever and cough and stuff, he reckoned that it's a lot more prevalent than people think anyway.
Right.
Already, but
yeah, we'll see.
Alrighty, so yeah, you're still working on admin stuff, I take it.
Yeah. So I'm doing morning time. I'm working on that.
Sales? Have sales been still going up?
Yeah, it's been ticking along, so it's growing steadily still. But it's still slow. It's still slow growth, but I'm doing, you know, several demos a week. One of the things I have done since last time is introduced a sort of request a free trial feature. So I can direct people to that as well as the demo. And so I'm getting probably more free trial requests now than demo requests, which is great because it saves me quite a bit of time. And that is a big bottleneck unblocker because I don't have to do anything manually now to get them set up. So the request comes through, I have a look at it. If it's all looking good, I just click a button and they get set up in the system and send an email. The issue with it is that there's still quite a lot of work for them to do to get a system that works up and running, you know, like adding all their information, clubs and all that stuff. So I offer them a call to go through it all with them. And those have been going quite well as well. So yeah, so that stuff is working. And so I have the afternoon to work on that sort of stuff. But the main thing I've done is given myself the excuse not to worry about marketing too much at the moment and setting up new marketing channels until I get these admin-y bits done. And then we'll get more free time to work on those. That's the main thing that's changed. Been thinking about pricing quite a bit as well because it's always been a problem for me. I don't advertise pricing on the website and it's always difficult to explain how the pricing works to people, which is a big red flag straight away. So it I tried to do it fairly, so it's based on the number of children that they have in the club on a daily basis, because that directly relates to their income. The problem is that lots of clubs run at different times of year, and they have different numbers. And so the questions are always coming up, like, you know, well, how does that work for me? And how does that work for this? And how does that work for that? And so there's always a bit of umming and ahhing and trying to explain how it works. And I'm never 100% convinced that they understand it fully. So in the end, I just tell them a price. And if they're happy with it, they're happy with it. If they're not, they're not, you know. And that price is based on that sort of number of kids per day. It's just they don't fully understand how it's arrived at, I don't think. So I need to work on that and make it more clear. A, because I want to get a pricing page up on the website.
Mm.
And B, because it's obviously an off-putter for people if they can't understand how the pricing works. So I've been putting a lot of thought into that, but not come to any real conclusions yet. There's the Price Intelligently, Patrick Campbell. They've got a book about pricing, which is really good, pricing for SaaS companies. And that's helped a lot. But it's still coming up with the metric that's clear to everybody, fair in terms of how much they're getting charged, but also works for, you know, Kids Club HQ as a business is more complicated than it might seem at first, but we'll get there. Still working on that.
Can you not do a percentage of the revenue they put through the application?
That is one of the first things I thought about. And
well, that's hard for them to visualize as well.
It is, yeah. It's hard for them to understand. One of the big pushbacks is they don't want a variable amount per month. They want to know how much they're going to pay. So that's one of the difficulties. And when it's percentage of the transactions, you know, it makes it quite difficult for them to see that. Plus, it's a lot of the transactions that go through the system, they're not paid for through the system because there are things like government schemes like childcare vouchers where there's no integration with that. They have to make the booking and then go to another system to make the payment. So it's difficult to track. Well, it's not difficult to track. I could still see the bookings and say, this is the percentage of the booking. So you could do that. But it's not like everybody pays by card and therefore you just add an amount onto the card payment. So there'd have to be a whole system around working it out and displaying it, making it clear to people. Nothing's off the table at the moment. I'm just trying to work through it and work out what's best.
Yeah, never easy.
No, it's not. No.
Cool. Righty. Better get on.
Yeah, that sounds good. So it's good to catch up again.
Yeah, should we try to do it next week or is that a bit too soon?
We could try it, see what's happened. We might both have coronavirus by then, but we'll see.
Self-isolating, we'll only have each other to talk to.
That's it, yeah. So are you generally happy with the way things are going now?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've not really spoken, I'm not putting too much detail into, well, speaking here anyway, at least about the kind of bits that I'm stripping out of Soundsy Check into separate products, because there are other people who have competing products and seem to copy the various reports I add in and stuff like that. So
right, okay.
I don't want to give them a heads up notice. Sure. Not that they listen to this, I'm sure, but
yeah.
But yeah, it's that old thing, isn't it, about whether you want to, how much information you want to give to your competitors and so on.
Well, this is it, yeah, how open you want to be. It's always difficult what the best way to go is, but yeah, so well, that'd be good for updates in the future then, see what's going on with those.
Yeah.
All right, well, have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Great. And yeah. Catch up later.
Yeah, cheers. See ya.